This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. A picnic on a weekend afternoon surrounded by dance, an unlikely combination perhaps, but that's what we have headed our way this weekend when Dancing in Place happens at Rimbundahan. Telling me more about it is Bilkis Hijaz, producer and performer, as well as Rathimala Govindaraju, choreographer and dancer, and Shirley Leong, dancer. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
So Dancing in Place, how much does a sense of place affect a dance all the way from choreography to performance?
Very much, and this is really what makes this a very exciting event, because we have a very distinct environment, the 14-acre indigenous Southeast Asian garden at Rimbundahan, which as far as we know is the biggest one of its kind in the world. And so the choreographers have the chance to choose their own particular site within this garden and decide they want to put their dance there. So ideally, they are responding to all of the environmental atmosphere, the ambience of the garden, the smells, the sounds, the sights, and making a work in response to that. A few of the works in the program are pre-made works, so they've been performed somewhere else, so they're being restaged for Dancing in Place. But they are also really responding to being in a totally new environment.
I want to get to a little bit more about, how dances are created in response to the environment. But when it comes to how the audience responds as well, this is, by all accounts, a more relaxed, informal way to watch a dance. How does that affect the audience's engagement with the performances, without having to file into a room and sit down in the dark and kind of wait?
Yeah, it's much more family friendly, so people can bring little kids who will get bored in a kind of theater atmosphere, and also babies who will start to scream. And in a way, I think if the baby starts to scream, that's part of the entire environment, and it's like having barking dogs and tweeting birds, and it's part of the soundtrack of your piece. Or it's also because we're quite relaxed and people can come and go whenever they like, depending on the different sites. So if your baby does start to scream, you can always pick it up and take it off somewhere else and bring it back when it feels better.
There are different forms of nature, but also architecture and art in Rimbundahan because of the nature of the place. And, how will this be incorporated into the dances? Will people be dancing around sculptures? Will people be interacting with that?
Yes, definitely. Rathimala is making a work which is set in a site which has a very large sculpture by Ahmad Osni Pei called Sakina. So that will definitely impact her work. We have some works that are indoors. We have some works that are outdoors. Some of the indoor works are in our 100-year-old heritage houses, one from Penang and one from Perak, which have been relocated to Rimbundahan. So you'll get to see those as well as the contemporary architecture.
Let's talk about the process for choreographers to start crafting their work. How often do they rehearse and flesh it out within the space that they've chosen?
For my experience, I have always made my pieces right at the end. It's always a last-minute thing.
Quite a few people do that. It's okay.
But I think it's very special because Rimbundahan has got that atmosphere. Like the previous work that I worked on was called Quintessence. And I just came back from a tour, and it was just I just had about 3 days to decide on what to do, and all the spaces were booked out. And so I looked at Angela Hijaz and I said, do you mind if I were to dig a hole in the ground? And she was like, for God's sake, why?
As long as you don't dig up any of the precious plants, then you're okay.
So I told her, well, I can't find any space, and I thought maybe I could emerge out from the ground and do something that is very quintessential.
And it was a hit, that solo, which unfortunately is not part of this year's performance, but
no.
The staff at Rimbundahan still remember how Rathimala emerged from the ground.
But that is the experience that you get from Rimbundahan because of the atmosphere and the environment, and you use those sites to inspire you to make these pieces, and it just spontaneously, these ideas just come out into becoming something very creative. But for Sakina this time, we're making this work which I want to interact with the audiences instead, because it's a bare field with Sakina sculpture just smack in the center. And so we're trying to have musicians collaborating with dancers together. So I've got Edwin Anand, who's my composer for about three, I mean, he's been a friend for a longest time. And him bringing in his music industry with his artists, from rappers to drummers to percussionists, singers, tabla player, and me as a freelance dancer, I'm just picking out dancers from everywhere. I've got the UM dancers, I've got Mei Mei from Sutra Dance Theatre, I've got myself from everywhere. So we're trying to just bring this together as a collaboration, bringing people together and making things happen in Rimbundahan. Yeah.
Is this the first time you're using live music?
For me, yes, and also especially in an open space. We don't know how this is going to work because Lucas was like, oh, no, you know, we don't have the equipment, we don't have the wires, we don't have, and I don't know how we're going to like link things up. So I told her, don't worry, we've got halos.
And the musicians will be responsible for bringing their own amplifiers and everything that's required. We run a very low-tech show, so in some of the smaller spaces, it's basically I bring my stereo system from home and I set it up and there's a volunteer who presses play. And it's not like big speakers or anything. So, well, we have 12 different sites, so it's kind of difficult to provide sound for all of them.
And you were talking about, you know, plucking dancers from all over the place. How does working with such a mixed bag of people affect the process?
Well, I think this is my, not the first time I've experimented using a different set of dancers. But it's a little challenging because they come from very different backgrounds and different trainings. But what I do is I like these different strengths from each dancers, and I try to put them together. So I give them tasks to work on. So they come up with their own movements, and then I just try to put them together. So that's why when Bilkis tells me, oh, you know, let's put you as a choreographer, you know, and I tell her, I don't think so, because it's a collaboration, because it's not just coming from me. It just, it's a collective idea. So that's how I work.
What was it about the site that appealed to you this year? Was it the sculpture, or was it the field, or was it kind of a combination of everything?
Well, honestly speaking, I didn't pick the space because Edwin Anand and I went about 3 weeks ago to look at the space and to choose a site. And I think Edwin is very attracted to the color yellow. So when he saw the sculpture, he just completely fell in love.
Which is very big and yellow. We call it the big chisel.
He fell in love with it. And he didn't budge. He was just there, lingering, walking around, going through the sculpture. And I said, okay, I think this is it. This is the
and
space.
That's when you need to know how to give your collaborator lots of space and compromise. It's key.
Yeah.
And earlier, Bilkis, you talked about how there are going to be some existing pieces and they're going to be restaged. What kinds of changes need to be made to fit the dancers into a new setting, you know, into the setting of a home or a space?
Some of them will have quite a lot of changes and some may not at all. The two that I'm thinking of, one is a Chinese dance piece called Forest Rhapsody, which I saw at the Chinese National Competition for Dance. And it is going to be performed pretty much as is, except without lights. And it will be on a grass lawn instead of being on a stage. And if it rains, well, it will rain. So that one may not have so much difference, except that this time it will be surrounded by a backdrop of green and ponds and sort of the imagined environment that it's set in on stage. The other piece is Madhu by Nadira Razid, who's a Aswara graduate. And it's a piece that she's performed a number of times, and in Singapore as well as in Malaysia. It's a duet, and it's about the two wives of a polygamous husband. And it's very clever, it's very funny, it's quite tongue-in-cheek, it's very witty. And this time it's going to be set in the living room of the old heritage house from Pera, which is a 100-year-old house. And so in the living room, there will be set out the living area and a bed indicating the bedroom and a little area indicating the kitchen. So it will be placed very much in a real domestic space. And she's been rehearsing there a couple of times, and I think it will be quite a different experience from any other version of Madhu we've seen before.
Considering the layout, do choreographers and performers need to consider the angles from which the audience will be watching? Because I suppose you could have people standing around you. You could have people standing, you know, behind pillars and having to peer out and
absolutely.
That sort of thing.
Well, that's what I tell the choreographers, is that you can never predict where the audience will stand, and they may well be standing behind you, and it's not really, we don't have enough volunteers to rush up to them and be like, oh, please, sir, could you please stand
over here?
And also, that's part of the experience, is for the audience to decide where they want to stand and from what vantage point they want to look at the sights. But certainly, this is something that I'm very concerned about, because I've been to quite a few site-specific performances, especially ones where the dance itself moves and the audience has to follow the dance. And if you've got 10 people in the audience, that's fine. But as soon as you have more than that, you really lose sight of the dance itself. You just literally cannot see it. So I am quite strict with my choreographers in terms of where we put the audience. And we don't generally have ambulatory works which move with the audience moving. The audience kind of stays put for each work, and then we move the audience to another site, and then it stays put for the next work. And so that we have some kind of sight lines, because, of course, these aren't theatre spaces, so it is quite difficult to see sometimes.
I'm speaking today with Bilkis Hijaz, Ratimala Govindaraju and Shirley Leong about Dancing in Place, which is happening this weekend. We haven't heard from Shirley. Up next, we will be finding out about the piece that you're involved in. You are listening today to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, a full studio of women, Bilkis Hijaz, Ratimala Govindaraju, and Shirley Leong. And they're all part of Dancing in Place. I could tell you what they're each doing, but we've kind of been in the process of doing that. And Shirley, you're going to be performing. Could you tell us about the piece you're involved in and the choreographer?
Okay. Hi, everybody. Yes, I'm going to perform this piece, which is... we choose the site, it's near the swimming pool, and it's quite interesting because we need to dance inside the pool, and because the water resistant and the movements, we can't really move too much, and we need to explore and create the movements in between the site that we choose, which is the water, you know, got the water resistant and all that, yeah.
And I understand that, so do you also have to swim, or are you just going, are you going to be standing?
We are going to stand inside and also deep inside to the water. From the high level, we need to dive into the water also to jump inside and all that. And we need to use the skills to, like, you know, to take our breath or whatever. We need to, like, try to be in the water maybe, like, 30 seconds, you know, to just create movements and dance with it inside the water. Yes.
One of their dancers actually doesn't know how to swim.
Yes.
And so, it's been particularly challenging.
Is there going
her.
To be a life jacket?
Yes, we have no lifeguards on site.
Yeah.
But actually, she's gained quite a lot of confidence just through being in the rehearsal in terms of being in the water and being able to jump into the water. That's been great to see.
We try to help her to get into it, you know, and we start rehearsal. It's like only 2 weeks before, and she's getting along with us. Yeah, that's really good.
Mm. And who's the choreographer?
Abang Ridaudin, and we call him Din, Abang Din. Yes.
Okay. Do you know why he chose working with water and working with the pool?
Because he has he got an idea, which is the pool is represent the life for the human, and all the dancers have their own desire to bring it, and the water is like fulfill the desire. So we have a plastic bag with attached with our body. And so we collect the water is as much as we need to collect inside the water, inside the pool. And he choose that pool to represent our human life. Yeah, like this.
Din seems to really like working with water. Actually, last year he also made another piece for Dancing in Place. Oh. And he asked us to string up showers so that there would be water coming from above in case it didn't rain.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, how many changes do you have to make or have you made to the site in past Dancing in Places? You know, have people kind of just, there's been a hole that was dug, you know, there have been showers that have been strung up. How often do you have to kind of make these site changes to make the dancers work?
Again, it's pretty low tech. So I tell the choreographers anything that they want to do that's not destructive, they can do. So also if they see anything somewhere else in Rimundahan, like a pile of dead leaves or a piece of furniture that they want to move into their site, they're welcome also to do that. So some people have changed their site quite a lot, stringing up fabric and putting different ambience. But most people, because the site itself is so powerful, there isn't really very much that needs to be done.
And Shirley, how has working with Ruthardin been different from working with other choreographers that you've experienced at Dancing in Place?
Okay, basically, all the choreographer, which is like, this is my third time joining Dancing in Place. So every choreographer that has their own way to choreograph, based on the site they choose, okay? So for the first time I joined, which is Chai Wee-Wan piece, and her name is called BG. So she used to create the movement in the studio first and using a props. So the props will be the batik cloth. So from there, we need to like hide inside the batik cloth and create movements like, you know, maybe she will give a team first, like, okay, let's try to struggle inside the batik cloth. And then after that, maybe we have a slow movements first. So from there, we make it big as the choreography. And after that, she bring it to the side, which is the...
Which is actually the same site that Ratimala is using this year. Yes. This was Vivan's site.
Yes, so she bring it the whole choreography and she tried to merge with the site and using their space and all this, which is the first time I joined. It's quite interesting on that. And then the second time I joined, which is the Mr. Ling Pogi, and he's one of the lecturers in UM. And he's also doing the rehearsal in the studio first, also using different motif and this and that. After all, he also moved to the choreography to based on that site. And also he did change a little there, little here and there to merge with the site. And also the site that this time, the current one, which is Abang Din one, we straight away go to the site to rehearse. We didn't have any rehearsal in the studio because we are using the pool. Okay. And because, you know, inside the pool we have the water and this and that, the pressure on it. So if we choreograph in the studio, like for somehow you move your hands really, really sharp and this and that, in the pool you can't do that because of the water. So you need to control your movement inside the water. Yeah. This is different.
Bilkis, you're performing as well. What are you performing in?
I'm performing in a little work by the group Ballet Base, which is an amateur contemporary ballet group that I set up in 2007. And this is actually our first commission. We've commissioned Ming Lau to make us a short work, which is called The Corridor. So I'm one of seven dancers in that.
What are some of the more memorable experiences that you've all had, you know, from the last few times that this event has been staged? Because obviously, it's nobody's first time.
Mm, yeah. Mine was definitely Emerging from the Ground. There was also a piece that I resurrected from when I was with Sutra Dance Theatre. I resurrected Ramli Ibrahim's In Spirit. And it's about women's suppression and things like that. So we tried it out for the first time at the Rimbun Dahan. Which site was that? I'm not very sure. I think it was just in front of the
60 Turns lawn in front of the main house, yeah.
So it was such a big space and we were trying to cover and trying to dance on grass and on the ground. I think that was a great experience because I don't think Sutra has participated in Dancing in Place. But then they have danced. I mean, Ramli Ibrahim has danced in Rimbun Dahan
since the 1980s or earlier.
But I feel like I've grown in this space. I've known Bilkis since I was like 10 or 11 years old, and I've been dancing in this space ever since. We've got Hello Diversions premiere and their promotions in Rimbun Dahan and things. And this space is very... it's a very blessed, I think. It sort of enhances your, you know, an artist's psyche and things. And when you get there, it just gives you this entire different inspiration. Because when I also worked with Lina and for
Lina Ang.
Yes. And when that transition on that ramp...
Across the ponds.
It just gives you a very different...
Energy.
Energy. And, yeah. just with that environment. And I think everyone should come in and just experience this at least in this weekend. Yeah,
I have a great story about when Ratimala did her crawling out of the ground piece, which again is not in this edition, but it's just such a good story because she was lying in a hole in the ground, kind of like a hole dug for a coffin, but not that deep, and covered in dry leaves so that you couldn't actually see her. And I was in charge of moving the audience into the space to sit down to watch the piece. And as the audience was moving in, I suddenly realized, oh my God, they don't know that she's there. And so they were about to walk across her. And so then I suddenly had to like position myself in front of her and be like, please move this way. Please, thank you, please move this way. And it was the scariest part of
and
that.
I was inside.
And she was lying in the ground being bitten by ants and covered in leaves.
So badly.
But it was a beautiful performance.
It was worth it in the end.
It was worth it, definitely.
Shelley?
So basically the challenging part, which is the first time I joined the dancing in place, which is doing the BG time, because we need to wrap and hide inside with the pate cloth. And because of the weather, it's really hot. And also there's the ants and mosquito biting us. So we really put a lot of mosquito repellents to get a gaze on that, you know. And, well, you need to dance inside the cloth. It's not really easy because your movement cannot be so small and tiny. Nobody can see you. And you need to be like, you know, to let it go just to dance and, yeah, and reach the choreographer needs and all that. Okay. Then the second piece is still fine. And the third time, which is the current one, dancing in the pool, which is, I'm okay with the swimming. I can swim a little bit. But because of the height, I need to jump from the
high into the pool. Yeah.
So I need to jump inside. It's like a bit scary. And then after quite some time, so a few rehearsals, and then I'm okay already with that. So though inside the water is okay with movements and all that, it just only sometimes the weather, because the water sometimes is really cold and because sometimes it's raining and the body cannot be stand on it.
Okay, well, ants, mosquitoes, rain, it's just that there are a lot of challenges here, and we've been going through a heat wave actually, and then sometimes there's surprising moments of rain. So do any of the works have room for improvisation? You know, if the weather should change, will the show go on regardless?
The show will go on regardless. It may just go on in a slightly different form. We do have an informal rain plan, and the most important thing is for us to keep the audience dry. So for quite a lot of the works, the audience themselves will be situated under a roof. So if it starts to rain, the dancers might get wet, but the audience will be dry, and the audience will be fine. There are some sites where we can't put the audience under a roof, and Sakina is one of those. And in the case of rain, we may have to either move the sequence of the work so we see a dry work first, or actually move the entire work into another space, which is unfortunately not the designed space, so that the audience and the equipment can also stay dry. We don't mind if the dancers get wet.
Okay, but for the audience, for the people planning to attend, should we prepare? You know, should we bring umbrellas?
Umbrellas would be great. We do have our own, but it's always nice if people bring their own because we may not have enough. And that would basically be for helping transitions between one piece and another where you might have to walk through a slightly rainy bit. Mosquito repellent is also great. We are also providing that, but please bring your own. And ideally shoes that can get wet or muddy just in case there are muddy bits.
And before we kind of sign off, Bilkis, I was wondering whether you've ever been surprised by the sites chosen within the house, because, you know, it's a space you're familiar with, but, you know, these are people coming in and looking at it afresh.
Yes, very surprised sometimes. There are some really obvious spaces, the really kind of grand gestural spaces. If you come into Rimbundahan, there's a walkway over the lotus ponds, and everybody, every year, someone chooses that space because it's such a fantastic space. And that I certainly anticipate. But also, again, every year there are choreographers who choose completely unexpected spaces. This year we have one choreographer who wants to dance in the doghouse, which is usually where we keep our six dogs all locked up so they don't just disturb the audience during the show. And he wants to dance in the doghouse, so now we have to find another place to put the dogs, which is fine. And it's really exciting to have someone think of that, because I would never have considered it.
And there are three of you here, but who else is, you know, how many dancers are there going to be?
There are 12 works altogether, And I don't know how many individual dance people. There are 12 choreographers. And so the audience will come and watch all of those in sequence. Each work is quite short. They're about 7 to 12 minutes long.
Is there anything else happening aside from dance?
There's also an exhibition in the Underground Gallery at Rimbundahan, which is by Al-Khuzairi Ali. He's been a resident artist at Rimbundahan for the past 6 months, and it's a ceramics exhibition of the work that he's made while he's been a resident artist. And, yeah, I think that's all that's happening at Rimbundahan at the same time.
Wonderful. So any final thoughts that you guys would like to offer on Dancing in Place this year?
Not really for me.
I think I'd like to thank Bilkis for having this, because I think Dancing in Place has been an annual thing since 2000 and...
Well, we kind of took a hiatus, but it was 2009, 2010, yes. And then 2014 and this
and
year.
And it's completely sponsored. I mean, she takes care of her dancers and she feeds us really well. And
we
she
don't pay them.
No, but then at least there is some sort of opportunity for artists like us who are just thriving to like do something or to show something, to share something. And for me, it's a great opportunity because I wouldn't have thought about bringing musicians and dancers from all over the place and coming to this space and creating something. So I would sincerely like to thank you for this opportunity that you're putting out.
As we thank all the performers who are all performing for free, I have discovered through long experience that the most important thing is making sure the dancers get fed.
Dancing in Place will be taking will be happening from 3 to 6:30 p.m. this Saturday and Sunday, the 16th and 17th of January at Rimbundahan, with the same program on both days. Entry is free, and people who want to find out where Rimbundahan is can go to
our website, which is www.rimbundahan, which is one word, .org.
Wonderful. Thank you all very much for coming in today. I've been speaking with Bilkis Hijaz, producer and performer, Ratimala Govindaraju, choreographer and dancer, and Shirley Leong, who's going to be dancing in Place. You have been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.